Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday? On Wednesday,
it's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
And then you got to turn the page real quick.
We just haven't been able to turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
That's right. On Wednesdays, we turn the page and we get you ready for the Bears' next opponent. Right before we turn the page, Spiegs, one of your questions about the Giants was answered.
Tell me.
Jameis is starting this weekend.
They fired Daboll. Did they cut Jamie Gillen yet?
Not yet.
Okay. That would be the third piece of the three questions. Oh, my God.
Now we can turn the page.
There are four teams in the NFC North, but somebody would have to take a step back for the Bears to really have a legit playoff chance, and maybe it's the Minnesota Vikings, who are 4-5, but they have played decent ball some weeks, not decent ball other weeks. They are a confusing batch. Right now, they are 9th in points per game in the NFL. They're 12th. Yeah, they're 12th in total offense, 13th in yards per play. Crazy. Passing yards per game, 20th, though. Rushing yards, 24th. So they've got some weird stuff going on offense because their quarterbacks have been all over the place. J.J. McCarthy, who calls himself 9, is bad after the first 15. How about that, Lawrence? His EPA and his stats in the first couple of drives are really, really good when he's running the stuff that Kevin O'Connell has designed. But after that, the interception rate, the sack rate, and his EPA have gone way, way down.
He is tough, though. He's tough. He plays tough. He is athletic. And those things do matter. We saw it play out on Sunday. You have a guy that is willing to pay the price and make some plays, they can make some plays. But he's just not far enough along, I think, for it to matter this season for the Vikings.
Defensively, Brian Flores' crew has given up the 13th most yards allowed per game. In terms of points, they are the 4th best scoring defense in the NFL. They're a weird one. I remember when Caleb called him king of the zero blitz, and he never zero blitzed even once in week one. They will show you a lot of different looks every time you play Minnesota.
They'll line people up at the line of scrimmage and then drop 7 people. They'll make it look like they're in zone and then send everyone. Brian Flores is a crazy person in the best possible way.
Ben Johnson scouts the Vikings for you, and it sounds like this.
Man, you look at this team that we're about to play, and a lot of respect for their coaching staff. I think O'Connell, he was the coach of the year last year for a reason. He always has his guys playing, and they're in all these one-score games, and they usually find a way to come out on top of them. Got a lot of respect for Flores. He's done it at a high level now since he entered the division. Gives you all kinds of problems. You got to be on your mess for all 60, 70 plays on offense to have a chance. And it's as mentally fatiguing as it is physically fatiguing for our guys. So quite a challenge. They do a number of things really well. We're 0-2 in the division. They're 2-0 in the division right now. And we're going up to their place, which is a very hostile environment. We're a different team than we were week one, and so is Minnesota. So this will be a completely different matchup as far as I'm concerned. I have, you know, the trust level is grown for a number of players with in our coaching staff. I think we really can hang our hat on a number of guys now at this point and feel really good about what we're going to get on game day. And so, you know, and then you look at offense, you know, yeah, we're running the ball a little bit crisper and cleaner. I think the backs have a better feel for what we're asking them to do. The O-line has started to gel. I think Caleb's got a better understanding of what we're getting done. And then on defense, it's really the same thing. I think the longer you're in the scheme, the more comfortable you are in terms of what the coaches are asking to do. I think we've up front done a better job of trying to play physical and shed blocks. And that's got to show up here for the second half of the season.
The respect for the Vikings coaching staff is clearly returned from Kevin O'Connell towards Ben Johnson. He has a lot of respect for the way that the run game has found itself and is completely different than the first time they play. He also talks about the Bears' bounce back after their loss in Baltimore.
They're running the ball. They're running all the complimentary plays off of their run game. I think their O-line has really gelled when you watch them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the acquisitions they made in the offseason, I think their right tackles, Darnell's turning into one of the better right tackles in football. Mm. And they were able to kind of solidify that left tackle spot that seemed to be up for grabs there for a little bit. But they're playing, they're gelling. And then I think what that's allowing them is not to be so drop back oriented in the early downs. You're seeing a lot more of the deeper play actions. You're seeing a lot more of the keepers, the movement game, the screen game off of their run game. And, you know, what we've got to try to do is stop that run game and force them to be a little bit more of a one-dimensional team, you know, by putting them behind the chains, first and 15, second and longs. What I've challenged these guys for, even going into last week, was we need to start showing at this point in time in the season that we've got that, you know, competitive stamina to do it week in and week out consistently in games without the lapses of times in games where we allow our opponents to recapture momentum if we have it or it becomes further and further away from our grasp, and that's where we're at in the season, and it's great to have the response, and I know our guys will put together a heck of a week of practice and be ready to go Sunday, but we've got to start seeing it consistently to give us a chance to get to where we want to get to.
It's going
to
be interesting. We'll have a couple days to really talk about this matchup and the specific challenges. Suffice to say, Kevin O'Connell is trying to be patient and give confidence to his young quarterback because that's his game, but it's getting tough from week to week.
It's a question that I've had in my mind for a couple of days, and I know that we'll have a chance to explore it at some point, like really thoroughly. How does Ben Johnson react to a loss against a division opponent? How do you change? How do you not change who you are and what you're about after watching the film?
It's interesting because do you just try to do the same stuff and think you're better at it?
And you might be because of the reps, because that was the first game of the season. Like, well, what's different about you? What thing did you pick up on? Was there a little something that you go, I got your ass now? Like, now that I've seen it against my system with these players, I have a better idea on how to counteract this.
Let's get specific about that tomorrow. Really think back to that week one loss where J.J. McCarthy buried the Bears in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was not fun. It was not fun at all. So that is the Bears' next opponent, the Vikings, noon on Sunday. Meanwhile,
in the North,
the Lions are at the Eagles Sunday night, and I don't know if people recognize this, but Dan Campbell has been calling the plays, and their offense has been better. What do they put up, like 550 yards or something on Sunday?
It was the first week Dan Campbell took over, and, you know, he had praise for the OC, who's still doing his job, but Campbell just wanted to get them in rhythm a little bit more.
Here's what he said about it.
Well, you want to know that, like, for me, you just want to know that you have, they got your back, man, your back's covered, and that your blind spots are covered. And I feel like with this staff, it's all covered. It's about me doing my job, what I need to do then to make sure that we're on point. There's things I got to get better at, and I will. But that's what this staff does. That's what Johnny does, man. Johnny's an asset for me, man. He gives me critical information. as it pertains to some of the tendencies going into the game, tendencies during the game, pass game, things to look for, things to go to, and either I take them or I don't. Same thing with Hank Fraley. I took input this game from John Morton, from Hank Fraley, from Scotty Montgomery, from David Shaw, from Tyler Roll, from Choice, our running back coach. I mean, so, man, this is collaborative, and we're all involved, man. And I need every one of those guys. I think there's some things I can delegate. I think it's more about the totality of preparing for the game now and seeing all three pieces and how they work together and how you really want the game to go. But that doesn't mean that I can't really, you know, it's every week I'll get more efficient and I'll get better, you know, at knowing what to do with my time. And I got to be more efficient in some areas, you know, and probably delegate a little bit. Look, don't forget, Ben, you know, I called those games. I called whatever that was, 8 or 9 games. I don't remember what it was in 21. While he helped me, but he watched, he learned, you know, he saw how I ran it, how I wanted to run it, what I was looking for. And then it evolved, you know, he evolved it from there. He took it, he knew exactly what I wanted. And, you know, by the middle of 22, I didn't have to say a word. I mean, he was, and so that's kind of where John is right now. That's all, you know, it's good. And you know, sometimes that's the best way to really know what somebody's looking for is just going through that. So, look, I just feel like it's the right thing to do right now. And I'm going to do it. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. Players are going to have to bail me out. You know, they bailed me out yesterday on a couple of things. Jared Goff bailed me out. So the staff bailed me out. But that's what teamwork's about, man. We got to all help each other out.
Man, I love that dude.
There's a lot there.
That's fascinating, man. So, yeah, that he called plays for 9 games of Ben Johnson's first year as an OC and then gave it up to him. Apparently, last Monday, after they lost to the Vikings, he sat John Morton down and had an honest conversation with him. But nobody knew that Dan Campbell was calling plays in the media until they saw him during the game on Sunday with his glasses on. He was wearing glasses, looking at a play sheet, and talking in the headset. And people were like, I think Dan Campbell might be calling plays. What do you guys think? And they asked him about it after the game. That is among the leaders as a team in total points per game. But Dan Campbell didn't like the identity he was seeing, and he took right the hell over.
I really like that on multiple levels, including the idea of what leadership and accountability can look like. This isn't going the way that I envisioned it. I'm going to talk with the guy that might be having a hard time catching the rhythm, and I'm going to say, look, I want you to watch how I'm doing this, and that's what I want from you going forward.
And in the meantime, I'm going to need you, and I'm going to need all of these guys and players. I'm going to need you because I'm not perfect. I'm just going to try this because I think we need it.
I'm going to lift you up. I'm not going to air you out. We're going to lift you up, and we're going to give you an opportunity, and I'm going to let the public know, hey, the guy who's a genius, the guy that everyone is talking about how great a job that he is, this happened to him, and he more than overcame it. He's now one of the highest paid head coaches in football. So it doesn't mean that it can't work, but let me be more specific and show you exactly how I want this done.
It's amazing. And there's a way to do it, and do it with honesty and directness.
And integrity.
When you set that up in your building, then all sorts of things are possible.
Speaking of integrity.
I know, but that's a big game. Sunday night football, hopefully a banger. Lions at the Eagles.
Packers are at the Giants on noon, so they're going to Jameis can taste that W. Matt LaFleur tries to answer the question of what's going on with the offensive struggles.
That's a great question. I don't think I'd be answering the question if I had the answers for it. I think when you look at it, a lot of those situational ball, we just weren't clean. And had, whether it was penalties, there was a drop there on a fourth down. You know, I always look at myself first and foremost. Are we putting the guys in the right place? We have opportunities to throw completions. I don't think they played soft zone the majority of the game. I would say in the second half, they started to man us up a little bit more. And they're just kind of waiting for you to mess up, and unfortunately, we messed up way too many times.
And if this is totally off base, tell me, but I don't feel like your offense has struggled to this degree since the first half of 23 when Jordan was first starting out as the starter. And then you said, told him he had to let it rip, and then you said you had to let it rip as a play caller. With the way defenses are playing you, can you do that and be a little more aggressive or whatever it might be to try and get something going, or is that an unrealistic idea?
Yeah, I mean, it takes every facet to open things up. And until we do a better job, like, really in every phase of the game when it comes to offense, it's going to be a struggle. So we got to coach better. We got to play better.
Matt, I understand you guys are 5-3-1, still have a playoff spot right now. And you're going to say you're always coaching for your job, but you don't have a long-term extension. With the way things have gone this season, do you think you're coaching for your job?
I'm not. I'll leave that for everybody else to decide. I'll just focus on the day-to-day and trying to do – I feel like you're always coaching for everything in this league. You know, that's just my mindset. It's always been that way. You know, you can't ever exhale. You got to always be pushing, and that's just my mindset. So, and that will be my mindset until they tell me not to coach anymore.
That's scuffling Matt LaFleur.
Oh, not as snippy. Notice that?
Yeah.
Really gave some thoughtful answers on what's going on with your not Mr. Snippy all of a sudden. Doesn't want to talk about Halloween.
I don't give a if it's Halloween.
I bet he would give a crap this week. He'd be like, yes, it is Halloween. You're exactly right. It is. It's a wonderful holiday. I wish you all joy and peace.
I want to take a moment to say happy Thanksgiving to you and your loved ones. Everyone in the media who I adore.
I look forward to reading your surprisingly good-natured columns, even in this tough moment of my season, which is not my last, I hope. I mean, that's up to other people. But
I hope your kids got all full-size candy bars.
Yes, they did.
I brought in gift cards for everyone here.
Granted.
Just to say thanks for covering our team.
I was given those gift cards for appearing on Chicago's Sports Tonight on a now defunct network, but still, I did bring them in for you and tell you where to go to dinner.
Who would do that?
I don't know.
That's how you know you're joking. No one would do that.
Nobody would get that done. Packers at Jameis Winston and the Giants, coached by Mike Kafka here in the NFL.
Let Jameis cook.
Yeah, might as well.
As long as it's not crab legs.
Dude, Russell Wilson demoted after that performance. There was no chance of Russell doing anything of consequence in that game.
No.
It's too bad.
It is too bad.
It's over for Russ.
But at the end, he still goes home to Sierra. And a whole pile of money that the Broncos are paying him.
Hey, man, if you think life is just about money and a really gorgeous wife, then, you know.
And they're lovely kids. And oh, yeah. Faith. That was kind of the interesting thing on the sideline. Jameis and Russ praying before Russ came into the game. And then it didn't work. But they are rich in spirit. And that's a good thing.
And money.
And at the bank.
Limited.
Very limited.
There is our look at the North. The North Division. Which is led by the Lions and the Bears as of right now today.
Tied for first place.
Tied for first place.
That's right.
Now take the North and never give it back.
I haven't taken it yet, but when they do, the hope is that they'll never give it back. When we come back, it's become a rite of passage. It's a thing that we look forward to every year.
When Shecky Boris steps out and bumps Richard Hightower from his set at the Chuckle Hut. You know, when the big dog shows up.
When he wants to eat. The big dog gets to eat.
You let him eat.
Scott Boras from the GM meetings has got stuff to say about some of your favorite players. And I imagine jokes? We'll find out next here on the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
You know, I think Chicago got the comforts of a full belly. Owners are clamoring for us to, you know, let's make a deal on Jordan. And I think all owners are very, very aware that he's worthy of, you know, a Monty Hall. You know, when it comes to the polar bear, we're not in contract hibernation. And, you know, he has power. So I think Chung Hu's going to bring K-pop to the MLB. I think Reese's Pieces fits all team puzzles. Yeah. I would say that in the pitching Autobahn, it's pretty much Mach Schnell.
Can I ask you a question about that?
I'm going to go through my speech.
Yes, sir. You know. How many more do we got?
I'm like Trump in court.
That's Scott Boras from last year. It's just absolutely outrageous. Chris Tannehill circles this every year. Alex, when does Scott Boras speak? The GM meetings are happening.
It's the only time I ask a question in the group thread. What time is Scott Boras today?
You literally planned your day around being able to edit this. He spoke at 1 o'clock. You had lunch early? Is that what you did?
Or early
you
just... lunch, early commute in, yeah. And I managed to persevere, even though they shut down the express lane going towards downtown.
I think the listeners think that he's kidding.
No, yeah, he's not kidding.
It's my favorite segment of the year. And like,
he's not kidding about that either.
And if we have time, I even have... It's the only job I would leave for is to be one of his writers.
He's got writers at Boras Corp, clearly. And they work hard. And then he goes to the lobby where the GM meetings are taking place. And the super agent, Scott Boras... has a lackey put down a giant wood crate because he's so short and he needs to rise above
That's
the crowd.
That's enough lackey.
He ain't coming for no haircut.
It's John Lackey, which is amazing. And Bruce stands right next to him as his Bud Abbott. And then Luke Costello Boras.
Abbott
delivers these. Taddy, do you want to set him up or should we set him up? How do you want to do it? It's your
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I mean,
congrats.
It is funny though, just looking at the totality, and as I was listening, his client list is not as strong. Maybe it's just not a great year for his clients. So, I mean, but he still's got, you know, he has Cody Bellinger still out there. So here's him talking about Cody Bellinger, who is typically he starts with like his most coveted assets first and foremost.
You know, really, he's the only five tool free agent outfielder. And when you look at season 25, I'd say among all the free agent outfielders, he was the top gun of the class. You know, he was defensively certainly a versatile viper in the outfield, playing both first base and all three outfield positions. He was kind of offensively a middle of the lineup Merlin in the sense that he felt that. You know, providing power and production. The other thing about Belly that's kind of unique for a guy his age, under 30, you know, he's played in all three markets, L.A., Chicago, New York. And so really, in many ways, he's an Irvin Maverick, without a doubt. When you think about what he's done in the L.A. market, he...
Iceman.
He's kind of Hollywood ringing for, you know, a championship, MVP. He was kind of a Windy City Wolfman and getting the Comeback Player of the Year. And in New York, he was a true Iceman cooling any thoughts that he couldn't hit behind Judge. And the other thing about Bellinger is that he doesn't have a, you know, that the qualifying offer is that, you know, that goose is gone. So he's really out of it. So I think that, you know, when it comes to Bellinger,
oh God,
there's no question that you know, the teams have a need to belly proceed.
It's really all about how much you can take.
I've had about enough.
I was so lost in all of it, and I just have one note. If I missed it, if I didn't miss it, here's my note. Did he say Hollywood?
No, it's sitting right there for him.
He did. Right there. He did. Okay, yeah. So we did get Hollywood, Hollywood, okay, and no. Wolfman.
I told you I had about
it. We got Viper. We didn't get Jester, right? No. We didn't get, but we got Merlin.
We got a lot.
And we got Goose and Maverick.
All right. Let's see what we got for Pete Alonso.
We didn't get Slider, though, did we?
No, I didn't hear Slider.
And that's laying right there for him, too. Because it's baseball.
Sliders. It's always next year.
Belly gets another 1-1, just so Boris can use more jokes. Here he is.
There's no doubt that Pete's pursuers are primed to pay the Power Piper.
Oh, Lord.
You know, Pete picked the perfect period to play preeminently at a really a primary position. A playoff-parched plethora will pounce to participate in... Pete possesses a pachydermium-like perseverance. I mean, he has a nature about him that is so... And don't get me wrong, power, production, punishing pitchers, they're fully aware of his skill, but what I think they most pay attention to is the core element of what he can do to provide a team that consistency of 40 home runs, power, and production. And because they're just not finding it. They're finding a lot of players in the market that are somewhat there and somewhat not.
What would you say about
Fuller plunge? I when you look at the number of first basemen that can play 100 games, well, you'd have to rank Pete right up there in the top 7 or 8. Because there aren't many first basemen that can play first base and keep the position. They just don't want to play people there. You know, forgive the pun, but it's become a platoon.
Really?
Except for Pete.
We will not forgive the pun, sir.
That's all you do!
I'm about done with my peas, I think.
Yeah, we're about done with your peas, too.
He was done 30 seconds into that and went on for another minute.
Don't worry, folks. There's only 6 more.
Whatever you say, Chris.
Let's keep going with Alex Bregman.
You know, like in Boston, you know, we learned a lot about Bregman in 25 because in Boston, prior to 25, they had a lot of lineup do not holes. Oh. And certainly prior to 25, Boston has been a kind of a club that's been, has Duncan well below the playoff line. So I think it was a bad roast. In Beantown, and certainly, and give the owners credit in 25. You know, they went out and spent some Starbucks to bring in a Bregman blend that led them to the playoffs. I'm sure the Boston fans don't want this to be just a cup of coffee, and no one wants a Brexit. So, I think all teams learned outside of Houston that if you want to have someone that's going to lead a championship army, there's no better general than the Brigadier.
Oh, God. Do you think he's ever signed a client just for the shtick?
Yes.
Just for material?
There are a lot more generals that are better. Isn't a Brigadier General a one-star general? I believe that's correct.
The texter says, I'm starting to hate baseball because of this.
No, hell yeah. No, hell yeah. Don't hate baseball.
Wait to hear the ones I wrote.
Don't hate baseball.
Is that canned laughter after the Brexit joke?
No, that was his biggest pop, I think, of the
yeah,
night.
Yeah, that was Brexit. His biggest crowd pop.
I got to know. Let's ask Bruce who was laughing and who wasn't laughing. Here's Zach Gallen getting discussed.
Available starting pitchers is pint size.
Oh.
So we know that a lot of teams are going to be courting Gallen.
Really?
So
yeah.
There's not an ounce of truth to the idea that Gallen couldn't fill up a rotation. And certainly, you know, if you want a pitcher
Why not Gallon?
Why not a Gallon pitcher? I'm picturing the boardroom. Scott, I've been thinking about Zach Gallon. This one writes itself. I'm going to go that angle. Okay, all right, sounds good. All right, everybody's doing their thing. Who's on He's Song Kim? Who's working that one?
I think Kim is a hot song on the shortstop charts. No question.
Okay, because I'm real worried about...
the Japanese pitcher?
I'm real worried about... Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Tatsuya Imai, who's been...
He's 27 years old, so when most teams talk to me about Imai, they say, oh my. So he's that kind of guy.
Wow.
What a guy.
Imai, by the way, rumored, Jeff Passan wrote that would be the perfect move for the Cubs if they got the 27-year-old Japanese righty Tatsuya Imai.
Who plays third base, right?
He's a pitcher.
Pitcher.
Yeah, he's a pitcher. I think 178 Ks in 165 innings last year. High velocity righty from Japan.
The guy says I'm starting to hate baseball. Like, no, man. This has got to bring the love back. This is it's so stupid that it's brilliant. Like that's what
he's going for. He's hoping that
it's come all the way around
on the continuum that you're talking about.
Where before he was trying to get that stuff in on the sly, and now it's like
Let's just go. I mean, he is the de facto president of the Major League Baseball Players Association. Like the power in this man is enormous, and he's using that power for yucks.
Okay, so next we've got Ranger Suarez.
Suarez has got true four-pitch command. I mean, he is, he's really what you'd call the Zone Ranger.
The Zone Ranger! Come on, that's pretty good, actually. I like that one. It's not the Lone Ranger, he's the Zone. It's the Strike Zone Ranger.
Uh-huh. And Tarek Skubal is not a free agent.
But that's a Boris client with 1 year to go. Hot, hot topic in trade conversations.
The fans in Detroit want the Tigers to build a Tarek Barrick. You know, they Little Caesars running around town saying, Sai, Sai. So it's...
Sai, Sai? I don't get it. Anybody get it? Anybody help me? Tarek Barrick...
Did he say slice?
That's what I thought he said.
Slice.
He's talking about Little Caesars.
Pizza.
Ah, okay.
Do we hear that one again?
Sigh.
Let's hear it again.
You're right. Pizza. So sigh, because he's probably going to win back-to-back sigh.
The fans in Detroit want the Tigers to build a Tarek Barrick. You know, they Little Caesars running around town saying sigh. So it's
it was sigh.
Very good, Alex.
Very good, Alex. Thank you. Very good. Tanny, how would you rate this year's crop of Boris jokes?
Look, it's always a 10 out of 10. A-plus every time because it's once a year, so it's never bad. You know, so I love it every time. It's amazing.
He's a farmer. This is his crop. This is his crop of jokes this
exactly.
year.
Exactly, and we need it. You know what I mean? Like, we need it for sustenance. You guys want to hear what it would sound like if he represented White Sox players?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'd love that.
You got some?
All right, I do have some.
Oh, yeah.
It's no secret when you see a player as skilled as Mydroth, when his free agency race begins in 2032, the chase is on.
Really is.
And
everybody will be going crazy for Chase Mydroth.
When you look around the league at the catcher position, and you talk about teal, opposing teams are seeing red, and opposing pitchers and fans are feeling blue.
I didn't know this was the assignment. I so would have played along.
He's going to do. He did this for every man on the 40 man roster.
Speaking of the catching position, it is a premium position, and if I were a GM around the league, I'd certainly be saying, "Yo, Caro, Edgar." What else?
Danny's Duolingo just went a-ring!
In terms of the starting pitching arms race, every team's looking to beef up their artillery, and there's certainly no more powerful weapon than Jonathan and his cannon. These are White Sox players, folks.
Who will never be represented by Scott Boras. I mean, maybe Kyle Teal.
When you look at the White Sox core, it's certainly a Fab Four. And they have their share of hits. And it's always a hard day's night when pitchers face Lennon.
Oh! Wow! Oh,
it's beautiful. I think I speak for the lumbering first baseman when I say you should Tim Elko F yourself.
Oh! Well, in terms of dependable relievers in the American League, Frazier Ellard certainly had his manager calling again. Thank you, everyone.
Oh, that's God's work, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what we need to do is record you next year.
Well, Bruce is going to see me standing next to him next year. I want to see it live.
Bruce, I mean, I'm coming out for the GM meetings. I only need one thing from you. I need you to give me your spot next to Scott Boras.
Don't worry, Tanny. I'm sending air checks to Scott Boras right now.
Listen, I will make this commitment right now. I will pay for your hotel room to go to the GM meetings next year.
Yeah, I think it's a great call.
No BS.
You deserve to be there.
No BS. I will pay for the... All I want is an actual still photo of you next to Scott Boras as he's doing his bits.
You got to bring a drum set so you can do the rim shots for him.
You know what?
Same texture, by the way, says, Taddy's having this much fun. I now love baseball again. You brought him back. Good job.
There's got to be, you've got to be able to have that on your phone, right?
The rim shot?
Like we've got air horn. So
absolutely.
Someone should just do, like one of the assembled media should just do that. And maybe not even say who's doing it.
Yeah.
And just do it.
Just let it happen there. You can't disrespect Scott, or else you never get an interview again.
Oh,
God bless you, Chris Tannehill.
That was great.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, Mark Grody will have a Bears hit. That means Ben Johnson, who spoke today, Caleb Williams spoke today as well. And we're out of here a little early for the Bulls and the Pistons at 5:45.
Speaks, yesterday we did a red meat section of the show where we were kind of laughing a little bit at the Packers, and it was all in good fun, right? A little tongue-in-cheek.
It was delightful.
Some people took it very seriously. Some people didn't take it seriously at all.
Uncle Biff? Uncle Biff gonna make Thanksgiving a problem.
Yes, and it was delightful for once to go in. I'll never say this again. It was great to go into the comments.
Glad it was you.
It was great. There are some treats in there, too. We'll share with you next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
When you look at some of these other teams, I'll tell you who's got a really good coach, you guys. The Bears. And you just better admit it. Because I'll tell you, Ben Johnson, the coach of the Lions, the coach of the Rams, the coach of the 49ers, these teams take on the personality of their coach. You can see it. They're aggressive. They're not afraid of anything. And they have this attitude like they're going to win. And the Packers lack all of that.
So we shared that yesterday, and we shared some other stuff from the Packers postgame show, which Chris Tannehill was up till, past midnight listening to from Monday night's game, which was absolute trash. And the Packers lost. And now the Bears find themselves in a tie for first place in the NFC North. And we had a little bit of fun with it because it's been a long time since a Bears fan can really be like, no, our team is competitive. Not just the one-off of beating them at the end of the season where the Packers are going to the playoffs and the Bears are going home.
We know that this may just be a moment in time, but we're hoping that it is that thing that people have been dreaming of, frankly, for decades, where you're passing that team of the North that has had Favre and Rodgers, and now is Jordan Love the next one? Maybe not. And maybe Caleb Williams is the guy. Either way, you're ahead of them right now in the standings. Matt LaFleur is under fire, and the Bears coach is a superstar. It's a great moment, without a doubt.
It's a great moment, and we put it out there on social yesterday. And I kind of, like, usually if we have clips from the show, I put it out there for people to consume. And I have never seen my mentions pop the way that they've popped in the last 24 hours about this, about something that we posted on the show.
What do you got?
Well, it's just fun to go in there and see Bears and Packers fans kind of going after it, and Packers fans being like, you know what? Yeah, I actually do feel this way about the Packers and LaFleur. And I am upset that the Bears look like they're getting better while the Packers look like they're getting worse. Like, that's fun. And then I opened it up because I was like, what is going on? And like inside the mentions of this thing. And one of the first things I see is Charles Tillman is at the top of the replies in the comments. And he said he posted a GIF that was like, they should be afraid. So now you got Charles in there.
Charles is out there playing along.
And then people reacting to Charles.
Uh-huh. That's more credibility than us to even throw Charles out there.
But Speaks, it's been liked almost 12,000 times.
Wow. That's crazy.
There are almost 500 comments on it.
This is the Instagram post?
Yes.
Wow.
And there are
500 comments. So you got Packer fans, some pushing back, some agreeing, and Bears fans, some spiking the ball. I would imagine most Bears fans are spiking the ball.
It's been shared almost 4,000 times.
Oh, that's amazing. This is when we'll end up hearing from like friends around the country when something goes mildly viral like that.
One of our friends around the country is in the comments. Our guy Robbie from Circa. He's in the comments talking about the Packers.
Made its way there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, I'm glad that this, you know, that it was fun. It was really fun.
Well, you know, I love this idea that maybe, just maybe, this upcoming holiday season, it is the holidays, right? Spiro Dita sent us there.
I think the snow sent us there.
Yeah, it's true.
After Spiro.
And the Mix also sent us there. And Target, the day after Halloween, sent us there.
Always wonderful to see, especially this time of year, as we're into the holiday season.
It's holiday season.
Tell you what, it makes the song a little more palatable if I can make fun of Uncle Biff and his Packers fandom by serving him up that sweet potato with the blueberries in there you were talking about. So give him that blue and orange side dish. Make him stick his Wisconsin face in there, you know? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Uncle. This could be that holiday season where it gets more fun to talk about the Bears. Could be.
You might be there.
LaFleur is, I think LaFleur is really good. I got to be honest. I don't get it. Is it love? I guess it's love.
I think
from week to week, the inconsistencies.
I think the general consensus from, you know, the callers that I've heard, like, you know, over the past couple of years, like every time the Packers exit the postseason, I'll listen to these postgame shows. People believe that he is riding on the Aaron Rodgers legacy, and that's the only reason why he was successful to begin with. But there's a contingent of people that's what they believe.
That's weird, though, because you have to do it on the field, and he's had so many moments where he actually has done it on the field. Like, he puts the ball into harm's way. Maybe he's gotten scared. I'm going to really try and watch him in detail on Sunday and really try and dive in, because I always kind of respected that he puts the ball in harm's way sometimes, because at least he's being aggressive and he's a young quarterback and sort of the Josh Allen mold. but maybe he's gotten afraid and he's tucking it sometimes in the pocket. Maybe he's not trusting himself and trusting the offense, because there have been lots of times where he looks tentative, and you can't live in an NFL pocket like that.
I think that both LaFleur and Love are good. I think that they are trying to rally from the injury to Tucker Kraft, and no one's really stepped forward as a wide receiver on that team to kind of take that thing over yet. I did expect them to be better, though.
Yeah, man.
I expected them to be better, and they'll still have a chance to be better. But it's okay for Bears fans to go, hey.
Yeah.
We enjoy the fact that we enjoy some of your misery. The schadenfreude is on.
See, LaFleur has always been that guy who, when he needs to, can double and triple down on the run game, you know, and lean into Josh Jacobs. And so maybe he's got to do that instead of, like, in the segment we played earlier during the North, the idea of him letting it rip with him and Love. No, maybe he's just got to lean in on the run game and kind of restart the identity a little bit. Hope they don't figure it out.
I hope so, neither. Oh, our buddy Ruth from the University of Chicago, also, I was on the elliptical this morning, and she comes up and she goes, you guys were meatballing it up yesterday.
Damn right, Ruth.
That's right.
Damn right.
And you were, too. Mark Grody's got a Bears hit next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.